At the end result, I realized, okay, Trevor, pretty much every goal that you plan on having in your life going forward, you're not going to get there alone. Like, it's not like graduating college. You were pretty much able to do that on your own, but all these aspirations you have for business and finances and wanting to move out the country and things like that, you're going to need a team around you.
Welcome to the No More Reasonable Doubt podcast. In season two of this podcast, it's made to help Black professionals start passion projects so they can expand their impact in the world and at work. In each episode, you can expect an interview with a Black professional who has a 9-to-5 just like you. And they've also launched a passion project into this world. You'll also get episodes with specific topics and lessons to help you move that passion project forward. I'm your host and fellow passion project starter, Mike Ambassador Bruni. Let's start the show. Welcome to another episode of the No More Reasonable Doubt podcast. Today, our special guest is Trevor Castleberry. Welcome, Trevor.
Thank you for having me.
My utmost pleasure. The first question we like to ask our guests is, what do you do for full-time work?
I work in New York City in construction management. I'm a supervising construction inspector, which pretty much means I'm one of the leads on a large team of construction inspectors.
Now, what the people really want to know and why you're here is, what is your purpose or passion project and how long has it been in existence?
My passion and purpose project is my business, Castleberry Consulting, which is a logistics consulting firm where we help businesses find flaws in their present, daily operations and their daily operations and procedures, and also help them avoid obstacles that'll come in the future, by optimizing everything they do now. And it's been, I started it in May of 2017, a month after I found out my wife was pregnant.
Beautiful. That leads right into our next question, which is, what is the origin story of your purpose or passion project? In this case, it's a business. What's the origin story? Why did you start this project? Where's the passion behind it? Talk to us.
Right. So I'm from the Bronx, New York. Growing up, just to put in perspective, I'm 6'5", 250 pounds. Okay. So I always had intentions and plans on playing professional basketball overseas. Even in like middle school, I didn't even care about the NBA as much. I wanted to play overseas in Europe and stuff. Eventually, I got to college and realized the talent in college was way stronger than high school. And by my senior year, I kind of realized, basketball wasn't going to be, a profession for me. And just to put the nail in the coffin, February of my senior year, I tore my shoulder out of play. I dislocated my shoulder playing basketball. and, with it being 3 months before graduation, I knew, this is it. So I sat down that night because I don't like taking pain medication. And I was thinking to myself, all right, Trevor, you got $100,000 in student loan debt. How are you going to pay this off when you get out of here? And, I knew when I graduated, I could make a decent amount of money because I got an electrical engineering degree. So I'm like, okay, you can make 60,000, 70,000 maybe when you get out, but that's not going to be enough to pay a student loan because you got taxes and other stuff you got to pay. And then I'm like, you're not going to make money playing basketball, and math tutor is the only other thing you ever done to make money, and that's not going to do it. So I'm like, okay, Trevor, you have to learn about money. So literally every day and night, that day, like without, nonstop, I've been studying money and investing in business straight. And that night, what I did, I remember it was an all-star weekend for the NBA. I was watching an NBA game and I decided to write down what 10 things that I would change about the NBA. And, you know, it kept me up. I was intrigued. So every day in those last 3 months of college, you know, because my shoulder was torn, I was literally going straight to class and then coming right back to my room, adding to that business plan, adding to that those changes I would make. So first it started off as 10 changes, then it was 20 changes, then it became a whole new professional league that I would start in the Bronx. And then, you know, it started mapping out from there. And you know, it got to a point where I wrote down everything I would need, and I'm like, okay, Trevor, you know, at this point, you know, it's kind of dumb because it's not like you have the money to do any of these things, so who cares? And then, you know, I don't know what came over me. I'm just like, you know what, Trevor? Just pretend you're a billionaire or something, and money's not an obstacle. Then what? And that thought right there just opened up a whole new world in my head, because now I started doing the research. Like, okay, how big does this gym need to be? What laws would I need to follow? And you know, things I would need to have in place in order to have a gym this big in New York City. How much would it cost, you know, to put a league together? You know, how is the league formulated? So then I ended up doing research on how the all the other professional leagues started. So figuring out they all started as nonprofits and things like that. And you know, pretty much every stream of income that the league could make, I had to understand how that industry works. So I had to learn and study insurance and research, you know, media and advertising and all these different industries. And long story short, at the end of it, I realized, even though I didn't have the money, the one way that all of this could come to fruition is if all the different things that we would have needed to pay for the league to go, if one of the league owners or team owners owned that business. So what I realized was a lot of the team owners in the NBA, NFL, and stuff, they own a lot of the different corporations that they use to pro support and provide the labor for the league. So I'm like, if I could do that for my own, that works. So, you know, if instead of us having to, you know, go out to get food for the players and people there, we just need a team owner that owns a restaurant. All right. Instead of us needing to pay a laundromat to clean the jerseys, we just need somebody that owns a laundromat. Instead of paying a media company to come talk to the players after the game, we just need somebody that owns a media company. And it all came together. And at the end result, I realized, okay, Trevor, pretty much every goal that you plan on having in your life going forward, you're not going to get there alone. Like, it's not like graduating college. You were pretty much able to do that on your own. But all these aspirations you have for business and finances and wanting to move out the country and things like that, you're going to need a team around you. So from then, you know, as soon as I got back home from college, the main thing I was talking to all my friends about was business and showing them this basketball league idea and saying, listen, the only way I could get here or this league is even a possibility, here's a list of the different businesses we would need in order for it to work. You know, just pick one and then I'll help you start the business and this, that, and that. And, you know, it kind of went from there. So 5 years forward or 4 years forward now, you know, the league isn't really an aspiration anymore. I really just have turned that interest and that experience of you know, learning business and liking it, and almost becoming competitive with it, like it replaced basketball, and was able to monetize it by starting a logistics company.
That's an amazing story.
Thank you.
That is a really amazing story. All the little twists and turns. And I really love the going to your friends and like, listen, all we need, you know, all we need is a laundromat a company, right? All we need is a laundromat company. I'm gonna help you start it. I'm gonna help you start it. You
Right.
know, like just that idea feels very novel to me of here's what we need. And I'm a, you know, you let's say there's five people. Each of you can take one of these, man, and I'm gonna help you start it. Don't worry, I'm gonna do
Right.
research. I'm gonna help you start it.
Right,
That's
right.
wow, wow. Okay, so that's how the logistics company came to be. Is there a point where you? Well, you also mentioned this is kind of before when we a little bit when we started talking. There's a book in here.
Oh yes, so basically, as time went on with the business, you know, I started getting really good at what I was doing and getting, you know, more qualified businesses as clientele. And because of that, I had to, you know, raise my prices just because a lot more of my time was being taken up with the clientele. And it was kind of pricing out the people that I really came to serve, which was the people who weren't entrepreneurs yet and needed help starting businesses and that information. But, you know, I didn't want to sell myself short by, you know, undercharging. And then at that point, I knew I would be, you know, upset, you know, taking on clients for a low price. But I also didn't want to price out the people that, you know, I knew were going to need my services at some point. So what I figured was, instead of having those people saving money to pay me hundreds of dollars for beginner information, I'm going to put all the beginner information in a book. And at that point, they'll be able to get all that information for less than what they were even able to talk to me for. Because it's like, you know, you don't necessarily need to talk to me about the intro to business and what an LLC is. I can give you that in a book. But as long as I'm presenting it in a way that's digestible for the audience that it's for, you know, it works. Because I've never taken a business class or anything. I have like taken like little business exams in college. Like it'll be like one of my roommates who was a business major. I used to take their quizzes just to see what I could get on it, just from regular knowledge. And believe it or not, I used to pass them. But you know, my books came together. Sitting with my wife. My wife owns a publishing consulting company. She used to work for a large magazine company. She got fired while she was pregnant, and she was essentially like my first client. So once she got fired, we pretty much decided, okay, instead of you going out to find a job, let's sit down and have you start this, you know, put your skills together and monetize them. She got an English degree, so she turned her senior comp into her first book, and from there self-published it. So she, you know, learned the self-publishing process. And with me developing a knack for business, you know, it all just came together, you know, like the perfect storm. And she was able to guide me through the publishing process. So I didn't actually have to put up most of the money that most authors would. And because of that, because it was a business book and I knew the other books on the market really were, you know, pretty boring, all I had to do was put my own twist and reality into the book. And at the end of the day, as long as I made sure the book was always a way to market my business, it worked. So, you know, once you see the book is called For the Hustler. You know, when you see it, you'll see my face and my hands and stuff like that on the front cover. You'll see a picture of me inside and on the back, my Instagram and my hashtags and everything. But now it's become a series. So For the Hustler Volume 1 was pretty much how it's 50 quotes. Each one has a passage with it that tells about my thoughts or stories or experience explaining the quote. And it's all about how to generate income by selling a product or a service. And, you know, identifying your skill set to figure out what product or service you already have access to sell. For the Hustler Volume 2 is all about how to generate income by investing. So the number one reason a lot of people fail as investors is because they make either uneducated decisions or very emotional decisions where they see the value of a stock falling, so they sell out before they allow it to rise. Or they see a property that's low cost, but they don't do enough homework about what, you know, what is on the title of the property and things of that nature and get screwed on the back end. So the book is all about how to develop your own investment morals. That way you can have a investment strategy that's custom to your situation. And it does it with the same style as book number one, but instead of 50 quotes and 50 passages, it's 50 questions and 50 passages, kind of giving you information to help you make a decision. So the questions would be stuff like, you know, do you prioritize companies that have subsidiaries or not? And if you prioritize companies with subsidiaries, that means when you go to invest in stocks, you'll look for companies with subsidiaries as opposed to companies that don't have them. And for those who don't know what a subsidiary is, that's a company that's owned by a larger company. So, you know, if I was Casterbury Consulting, and I owned a small watch company called Casterbury Watches. The Casterbury Watches would be the subsidiary of Casterbury Consulting. So, For the Hustler Volume 2 explains how to, put together your investment morals and be profitable, investing in stocks, investing in real estate, and investing in equity. And right now I'm working on For the Hustler Volume 3, which will be out by the end of the year, which teaches how to increase your income by negotiation. So that'll discuss how to do it as an employee and negotiate a higher wage, as a consumer to negotiate the best rate of pay, as a merchant to negotiate the best sale, and as a closer to teach you how to one, bring two parties together to create a deal, but also how to put in a product or some sort of valuable piece yourself. So now you get paid, in perpetuity off of that deal, as opposed to just getting paid the one time, fee in the front end. So once For the Hustler Volume 3 is out, you'll be able to buy all three. But for anyone interested in the first two, you can find them at hustlerbooks.com.
And we'll make sure that we link to that. Is there a point where you hesitated to start, and what got you over the hump?
Believe it or not, when I graduated in May of 2016, I graduated college in May of 2016. I didn't know when I was actually going to start a business. I still, was, doing research every day. At that point, I was a little over by the time I actually started my business, I was a little over a year into studying, business and investing. But in terms of starting my business, the one thing that made me do it was one, me and my wife got married and moved out on our own in May of 2017, so less than a year after I graduated. The following month, April of 2017, we found out she was pregnant. So May of 2017, I knew, okay, Trevor, you need to start something now. One, because you'll need the extra income at some point, just in case something happens. And two, because you'll already have something growing for your child. And I remember the person whose video I saw online that kind of gave me the kick in the butt to go for it and give me the confidence to say I have what it takes was Dr. Boyce Watkins. I don't know if you've ever seen one of his videos before, but he had a video called something like Why the NCAA is Like Slavery or something like that. And the title just intrigued me and I clicked it. And he went on a rant that basically had nothing to do with the NCAA, but it was all about kind of telling the viewer, you got what it takes to start your business as long as you have X, Y, and Z. And I had X, Y, and Z. So I watched another one of his videos where he interviewed a guy named Andre Hatchett, who later on ended up becoming one of my business mentors. And he was pretty much talking about starting a mobile notary company. So at that point, I was really thinking about starting that mobile notary company until some point in that interview, they said the number one fastest growing industry for small businesses is the consulting industry. And that put the light bulb in my head, like, Trevor, you can start the consulting industry tomorrow. I mean, you can start the consulting company tomorrow. And I was sitting there and I'm like, okay, I'll just do it tomorrow. And literally right after they said that, Andre Hatchett in the video says something like, yeah, I always tell people, if you say you're going to start the business, you got to do something right now to go for it, like buy a domain name or something. And because he said that right then and there, that's what got me to do it. And, once I spent my money, I was basically. So at that point, I didn't stall. The other part that I wish that I did stall in was feeling confident enough to offer investment consultations, just because even though I was investing in the stock market, I didn't feel I knew a lot about it. But two things happened. One, we started investing in the stock market heavily once we found out my wife was pregnant. So with that tax return, we started going in the stock market and we made, more than what we put in back with it by the end of the year. So we knew we were doing something right. But in October of 2017, I went to the bank because the year before when we were saving to move out, I created a small high yield savings account just so the money could rack up quicker. And when I took the money out to get the apartment in March of 2017, there was like $1,100 left. So I was like, you know what? I'll just leave that in for the rest of the year just to see what it'll do in the bank. And I went a year later and I got to see that with them having my $1,100 in the bank for a whole year, I only made $3 profit. And that was when I was like, why did I ever leave this money sitting here for a year? I could have used this $1,100 to make more in a day. So,
Right.
and I'm just like, that was the one time I'm like, Trevor, why did you ever take so long? Do you know how much interest you just missed out on? So, because of that, I'm always like, that's it. I'm going directly to what I say I'm going to do. So if I say I'm going to, start offering investment consultations every day, I have to, do something to help push that purpose forward. So since that day, I've been, fully going with the investing. And sure enough, with Castleberry Consulting. So every idea I have for what's going to happen in the future, like one idea is to be able to subcontract on the same construction management on the same construction management contracts that I work on, but subcontract with my business, Castleberry Consulting. So I'm technically still working under my business full time, but on the same kind of projects. I learned that whole back system of how the whole New York City project procurement bid process goes and everything. So I put my business in the right place to in the right position to do that by getting my MWBE certification, or at least applying for it, getting my New York City vendor license and all of that. I did that, years ago, like in 2018, long before I could actually, use it. And because I did that long ago, now, before I even knew it would be ready, it benefited me where I was able to negotiate a large increase in my pay a couple years ago. So it's like, because I'm always making those next steps every single day, it's like something always just pops up later on that reminds me, like, Trevor, you did a good job by doing what you did back then, so keep it up and keep going. So that's what keeps me from procrastinating.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. So one of the things that I hear when it comes to purpose and passion projects is a question of finding the time. How did you find, or where did you find the time, or how did you make the time for your project? You got a family, you got full-time work. Talk to us about that.
So it really comes down to my background in engineering and logistics, where I'm able to, write out every single task that I have to do, and I literally just figure out which ones I can multitask together. So, like, I want to be able to, do my job, handle my business, play with and teach my daughter, and spend time with my wife and help out around the house, right? One last year, the quarantine with the having everybody stay home, I was able to work from home with my construction management job. So that actually made it a lot easier of a transition than if I was still, going in and out, back and forth. And I became a full-time office employee, which really meant full-time working from home. So that was one thing that kind of opened up my mind to even thinking it was possible. Two, when I work, I keep my daughter nearby. One, so I can see what she's learning on TV. So there's been times where, I got tired of her watching certain shows. I just felt like they weren't teaching her much. So I just looked to see if that same show was online in Spanish, and it was. And sure enough, I just started learning how to watch the shows in Spanish, and now she speaks Spanish. So small things like that I was able to pick up while I was working, just because I worked in the same room that she was playing and working in. And other things I do, like my wife has a business. Instead of both of us having to spend time separately working on our businesses, we make sure we try to put our businesses together as often as possible. So right now on Instagram, if you see our marketing strategy, we're bouncing ideas off of each other. We're doing a 60-day, 60-question challenge, asking each other questions that show our expertise in our industry. If you are on our newsletter list, you'll see that our newsletters come together. It literally says Casterbury Consultant and Amakoso at the top of it. A lot of the podcasts that we reach out to, both of us will end up reaching out to them just because we know it's just easiest and it works best for our businesses when we're together. Even the views that we get on our content are much higher when we're together. Maybe she'll get 100 alone. I'll get 50 alone because she's prettier than me. But when we're together, we'll get, 250. The last thing is really outsourcing. So I realized a lot of stuff for my business, even though I was able to do it and I had the mental capacity to do it, I didn't have the time to handle everything. So I had to hire a social media manager. I had to hire a virtual assistant. I had to outsource my web design portion of the business just so I was able to do the stuff that was going to bring in the big clients. And I didn't have the money ahead of time. I just had to spend the money and tell myself, all right, Trevor, now that you spent the money, you gotta work twice as hard to make sure you get it back. And that's kind of what helps, get it done. And in doing that, I figure out what works and what doesn't. And from there, it's like, when I spent the extra $1,000 for a month with the social media manager and the virtual assistant, I had to start going out and building whole lists of people to cold call, people to, cold call in their DMs, people to cold call by email, and then, circle back and do it all again. And eventually I figured out a strategy that worked. So now that's just part of our regular business protocol because we still have to pay for that virtual assistant. So, because I put the money up ahead of time, that's the only thing that gave me the creativity and the drive to come up with the solution. And now, helps me expand my business. So, putting together all of those different collaboration ideas with the outsourcing and the is the only way to manage everything. And some days it still gets out of hand and, you just got to adjust when necessary.
Time is one thing. Talk to me about where you found the energy. are there practical things that you can share with our listeners about, you share some brilliant things around time.
Right.
talk to me about energy. Post 9 to 5, how do you find energy to work on your consulting business?
Okay, so one reason I really like and I really promote writing, courses and stuff like that as well. Well, writing and publishing books, offering courses and things like that online, and also consulting services is because you can do them anywhere and kind of at any time that you're available. Even like a consultation, nowadays you don't even necessarily have to do it on a laptop. You can do it on a cell phone. So with my first job out of college, the construction management contract I was working on was on the highways, and we were maintaining the cameras and the traffic signs on all the highways in New York City. So when we went out there and the electricians were working on the cameras and stuff like that, I was staying outside my car until they went up, in the bucket truck and got up there. And at that point, I'm just like, all right, there's nothing I can do to help them while they're up there, 40 feet in the air. I'd go right back in my car and start writing my business plan or start writing out material for my course or start writing stuff for my book. My first and second book, I actually wrote them out. Well, my first book, I wrote the entire thing out by hand first and then typed it out. The second book, it was half and half. And this third one, I'm also writing by hand first just because, it's easier to, really fast while I'm sitting down somewhere waiting for to get into a place to make an order or something like that. I can just type on my phone or write in a notebook. So I spend all those little times to get work done. One thing my wife, that we teach to her clients for writing is like, If you take the train, you know, to and from work, that's your time to write. If you drive to and from work, that's your time to speak. You know, you could use your phone to record yourself speaking and actually speak while you're driving. And maybe it'll take your thoughts off road rage if you have that. I'm not sure. but you really got to find those small idle times and you know, put in the energy where you can, because you know you're awake then. Because the whole staying up late and pulling all-nighters, as much as a lot of entrepreneurs brag about it, and I've been one to do it, you know, it's not healthy and it's not sustainable. You know, maybe you may have to pull an all-nighter one day just because you got a really big deal coming or a really big project that you have to complete by a deadline. I get it. But, you know, it's not, you don't want it to become something where it's like, yeah, on Fridays I stay up till 3 a.m. because you're going to crash, you know, by next Friday, especially if you keep it going. You know, there's been people that I know that kept working like that for 3-4 weeks or months at a time, and when they finally crash, it's always terrible. So you want to make sure you're putting as much effort into reserving your energy as you are into using your energy and finding the right spots, you know, to use it.
Thank you for that. How has, if at all, your passion or purpose project positively impacted the way you show up at your day job?
Okay. Positively impacted how I showed up at my day. So one, it definitely makes me attentive. So when I realized that I could actually, you know, use my business to work in the same industry that I worked in for my day job, it made me want to learn everything I could. So I started off just as a construction inspector with an electrical background. But next thing you know, I was willing to learn all the extra, you know, I became a master using Microsoft Excel. I became a master, you know, at writing technical reports and things of that nature. I became good at writing the safety plans and things of that nature, which none of that stuff was really part of my job description. I would really just help out wherever I could. Or, you know, if I finished one of my tasks early, I would go up to somebody else, like the other electrician we had in the office that would be fixing stuff, and just start watching and asking questions, just because I knew the more I knew about the job, the more types of contracts I could bid on with my business in the future. And, you know, surely enough, you know, now I'm in a position I can bid on so many different types of contracts because, one, there's other people in the industry that know that I have an understanding of that work. Two, I can write a bid and a proposal that you know, shows that I understand that work. And three, I put my business in position to do it. So, you know, I paid attention to how to write contract bids. I paid attention to the people who I worked with in construction management. So even if I needed to hire someone for a contract, I have a long list of people I can go back and call just to see if they're, you know, on furlough or something. So the main thing is it really only worked because I was able to find a way to connect my business to the job that I was working. If you're in a position where you can't do that at all, like let's say you work the graveyard shift at a cemetery, but the business you want to start is, you know, a modeling business, then maybe there's no way to put that together. But, you know, for me, it was very easy to put together construction and consulting because, the word consultant is literally in the contract that I was on. So once I was able to find that connection, it just made me say, okay, I want to learn all of this because all of these are different ways that I can actually monetize it in my business. And, you know, it definitely paid its dividends because I was even able to even listen in on conversations and see, okay, you know, this is where different companies and different individuals find leverage and things of that nature. And, you know, now I'm able to use that to my advantage in business and as I'm writing my book.
So you've had a couple of years of doing your consulting business, and there's things that you've learned along the way. There's someone who's listening to this podcast right now who's on the fence of starting their own purpose or passion project, what advice would you give them based on what you know now? Something that you didn't know when you had just started, but it's something you learned along the way. What would you share with them?
Something that any purpose project they should know. One, you're gonna need a team, and it's best when you have that team in the beginning. The only thing is you don't want to be in a position where you're waiting for that team before you start, because you're not gonna be able to build that team until you're already playing. So an analogy for it, I would compare it to, like, if you went to an open gym or a basketball court for a pickup game, it's like, you may not know anybody there, but because you're out there, as you get to play more and more, you'll get an idea of who the people are you play with best that you would want on your team for later or for next time you come back. So you already have to start doing the work before you can identify your team, because just because you think somebody works well on your team doesn't mean they want to, you know, work with you. So you want to already be doing the work. And while you're doing the work, you want to make sure that you're putting a team together to support you, you know, going forward, and also that you can support going forward, because the more value you can bring to your team members, the more value they can bring back to you later on. That's number one. Don't do it by yourself, but, you know, you're definitely going to have to start it on your own, you know, in order to build that team out.
Thank you for that. So this is pretty much, well, next to last question here is, are there any particular books or other resources that you have found helpful along your journey when it comes to purpose or passion project? Please share 1 to 3 of them with us if they come to mind.
All right. Well, I do go back and reread my own books, specifically because in the Photo Hustler book series, not only, you know, it's very much like reference reading, but you can always go back and revisit something that's in the book, because you may not be in a position to digest it the same way when you first read it. So even sometimes I go back and reread it and forget, you know, this is my book. It's almost like I'm reading somebody else's thing. But Photo Hustler is great because there's space in there to write thoughts that spark in you, you know, while you're reading it. So there's blank pages in the book. And going back and rereading and filling out the book every year definitely helps me progress my business and my plans and thoughts forward. The second book I would definitely have to say is Dear Nice Girl. That's my wife's second book. And her name is Akosua Nansuchi. And the reason that book works is because, you know, even though it's called Dear Nice Girl, in no reality, and everyone says it, it's really written for anybody. And it's really just teaching you how to use your daily relationships to your advantage. So, you know, you may see the mailman every day and just say hello, but that same mailman, if you sit down and have a conversation with him, you never know, they may, you know, have access to something that's way greater for you, you know, that you've been looking for all along. So those everyday, you know, relationships that you have, try to find the good in them as opposed to, you know, being turned off by anything negative you may see off jump. And the third book I would have to say is, I would say the 10X Rule by Grant Cardone, simply because two of the things that are said in the book that I really like, one thing I was already using was making sure I do something every day that pushes my passion project or my business forward. That way I know that there's no time that I'm stagnant or moving backwards. And the second thing he talks about is, you know, scaling things big and looking forward to new problems. And it's like, as long as the problems you're going through are new, that means you're progressing. Because if you're regressing, you're only going to see old problems, you know, revisiting. And now, every time I see a new problem, before, as scary as they used to be, now, you know, they're much more inviting. And it's almost like, wow, a new obstacle, I'm going to crush this one just like the last one. Only because, you know, reading that book, and actually, that was the first audio book I ever listened to. Listening to the audio book actually kind of is what helped me get over that. So, For the Hustler book series, Dear Nice Girl by Khosla Nantachi, and The 10X Rule by Grant Cardone.
Perfect. So, Trevor, thank you so much. I want to know, where can the people learn more about you, your project, your business, and all the dope work that you're doing and the dope work that's about to come out?
All right. So again, my name is Trevor Casterbury. I'm the CEO of Casterbury Consulting, the number one corporate logistics consulting firm in the Bronx, and the author of the For the Hustler book series. You can find me and all my coaching and consulting and logistic assessment services at casterbury.com. Casterbury is spelled Cassaberry. You can find my book For the Hustler at for the hustle I mean at hustlerbooks.com, and to follow everything on social media, you can go to Instagram and find me at Don Don underscore Travolta, Trevolta. You can find my book at for underscore the hustler, and my business at Casterbury Consulting.
Perfect. Well, Trevor, I appreciate you taking the time to come on our show and share your brilliant strategies with the people.
Of course. Thank you. I appreciate the time, and I look forward to working with you soon.
Excellent. I hope you enjoyed that episode and found tremendous value in it. If so, don't keep it a secret. Tell a friend to tell a friend, and don't forget to follow us on Instagram, our handle, No More Reasonable Doubt. Every so often, I create a free resource to help you take your purpose or passion from a dream to an actual project. You can always find that resource at nomorereasonabledoubt.com/free-gift. This is Mike Ambassador Bruni for No More Reasonable Doubt. Remember, some dreams stay dreams, some dreams come true. It's on you.